in the first, I'd hope it actually will, he will be a regular guest on our show, John Minto. And John has been in Wellington today for the Freedom for Palestine rally, and it was a biggie. And I want to talk to him about it because it's something that I actually do support, and I hope other New Zealanders, other thinking New Zealanders, will as well. Kia ora, John. Nice to have you on Radio Wātea this evening.
Oh, kia ora, Miri Pekka. It's lovely to be here.
Thank you very much. Well, the first thing I want to ask, I do hope you didn't get donged on the head or weren't sprayed at all, were you?
No, I wasn't. It was a very, great protest. It went really well, and I think we were able to get our key political messages out to the New Zealand public through the media and through social media. So it was 3 hours. We went to the, we marched first of all to from Civic Square to Parliament, and we stopped at the Israeli embassy, and then we went from a rally at Parliament, we went to the US embassy. So we covered all of those important places, and I think we got a really good message out to the public.
Well, yeah, and I understand that you were met the coalition government, the three parties to that. They came to meet you at Parliament.
Well, not the coalition government didn't, but the three parties in the opposition did. We asked all of the parties to come. We asked New Zealand First and National and ACT, but none of them fronted up. But the Green Party, Te Pāti Māori, and Labour all came. And I think it was a really useful rally, and we were really pleased to hear from them.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry that I got that. I was confused about that, because actually I would have thought that this would have been an opportunity for the coalition government to actually hear directly. But of course, hey, if you don't want to hear, that you don't want to hear, Maybe they've made up their mind, John, as to the extent of support or otherwise that they're currently giving to the whole situation over there in Gaza.
Yeah, I think so. I think they feel that they aren't feeling under enough pressure, and that's probably true. But I think the majority of people are certainly on side with Palestine. All of the public opinion polls that have been done have shown, the big majority of New Zealanders want to see a ceasefire now. They realise that Israel, is all of us have been paying attention. Call it genocide, and the International Court of Justice said it's a credible risk of genocide happening there, and have asked Israel to basically stop killing Palestinians. But Israel's ignored that, and they're still pressing ahead, even into the most densely populated area where they've forced everybody to move to anyway. That's Rafah, and that will be a humanitarian disaster if they have a ground invasion there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking today, because I did watch the news, and I try to keep up, and I watched the news, and it talked about particularly the killing of children. And then I thought, well, I suppose if you kill the children, then that means that obviously in the future there'll be a decline in the population because the children won't be having. So it's obviously a strategy.
Well, it's certainly 50% of the population of Gaza are children. So that if you bomb a densely populated area, half of the people you kill are going to be children. And we're talking horrendous numbers here. We're talking about 12,000, and some estimates go as high as 15,000 children having been killed, because we know the ones that are reported have come into hospital, but there's so many more who are under the rubble somewhere in Gaza, and no one has retrieved their bodies, therefore they're not listed as being dead. So we're in an absolutely horrendous situation of what we call a genocidal slaughter. Mm-hmm. And I think, so many Israeli politicians, Miri Pekka, have said, there are no innocents in Gaza. There are everybody in Gaza is to blame, and that is genocidal talk from Israeli ministers in the government. Genocidal talk from their army leaders, who say, we're going to put a siege on Gaza, no food, no water. This is collective punishment under the which is a war crime under the Fourth Geneva Convention.
Yes, well, I look, John, it is, and all around the world, you can see that the people of the, you know, people are, yes, people are taking it, that there is such a dislike for what they're seeing there. And,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I was, well, I happened to be
watching. We're seeing genocide played out before our eyes on TV.
That's right.
And so, right through, you know, I mean, we know about the Western world, but right through Asia, through Africa, through all the other parts of the world, people are so angry. They're angry at Israel. They're angry at the US for allowing it to happen. And it was just announced a couple of days ago that South Africa, who took the case of genocide against Israel, are now taking a case against the US and the UK because they have been supporting and providing arms and ammunition for Israel to conduct this genocide. So I think, you know, countries in other parts of the world are really standing up. And New Zealand, unfortunately, we're moving in the opposite direction. We're going with the minority who are supporting Israel and the US.
Well, I was watching an interview. It was on American television, which surprised me, actually. And there were a number of guests that were being interviewed. And one of them said, if you look at it, the ones who are taking the least action, they are former colonizers.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, and I'll tell you something. To be honest, I was half asleep. I was sort of reading and doing whatever. And I pricked my ears up. And then they talked about, and they actually included Spain in this. And they, but they talked about the England. They talked about the United, you know, the England and the other countries. And he said, now you look where the reaction has been least supportive. Of the Palestinians, and that is the former colonizers, because this is what's happening. Yeah. This is what we're seeing played out.
European countries which went out and colonized the world, most of Western Europe, the different countries there went and colonized different parts of the world. Yeah, the colonizers are not supporting the people of Palestine, are supporting Israel. It's like a little Western club, and some people call it a European club or a white person's club, and they are clubbing in with Israel. And New Zealand has joined them in a way that I never thought would happen. We've got Winston Peters and Christopher Luxon and David Seymour. They're absolutely refusing to condemn what Israel is doing. You know, it's the first time in my life we've had a genocide happening where our own government will not condemn the people doing the killing. They have condemned the killing of Israeli civilians. They've never condemned the killing of the indigenous people, Palestinian civilians.
Yes, well, it's because they, you know, I know that Israel hates the use of the word genocide being used against them in terms of the actions that they're taking against the Palestinians. They hate that. Yep. They believe that word is sacred to their experience.
No, it's not sacred to their experience at all. It's, there have been other plenty of other genocides which have occurred, you know, with the
Rwanda,
the Armenian people.
Yes, that's right.
And right now, you know, Israel has put forward what the World International Court of Justice says is a credible case that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, and in the World Court, which sometimes called the World Court, the International Court of Justice, have said to Israel, you must come back to us within a month and explain what you are doing to prevent genocide occurring. And Israel, of course, has ignored that. They've been bombing the hell out of Gaza ever since, and they're doing that because Netanyahu himself is his own political fate is tied to the war. As soon as the war is over, Netanyahu is gone. He's going to be thrown out, he'll be thrown out as Israel's prime minister. His government will collapse. And he will be, and he'll be indicted for crimes which he committed when he was prime minister. So he is desperate to keep the war going, and the rest of the world is saying, "No, stop the carnage now."
Yeah, I know. It just seems to me that the rest of the world. Well, I guess what happens. I don't know, John. You'd know more about this. But I think if you, as Israel has obviously tried to do, if you dehumanize the Palestinians, if you make out that they're not worth anything anyway, then that's some justification for treating them as they do, and they want the world to actually come alongside in that view as well. Well, it seems to me.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. Totally agree. I think when colonization happens, there's two things that happen. It's the two most important things are with colonization. It's about stealing the land. And we saw that in Aotearoa. We saw it in Australia. We saw it in Canada, in America. We've seen it everywhere where Europeans have gone and colonized. So you steal the land. And the second one is it's about racism, because you steal the land because you say, well, we're more deserving than these people who aren't properly developed. So it's a deep racism which Europeans have had for indigenous people around the world. So I think those two things going together right now is happening in Israel. Israel is every day is stealing more Palestinian land, and every day it is killing more Palestinian people. And I think this is something, you know, it's colonization. We can see it happening. And New Zealand, and as you pointed out, other colonizing countries are supporting Israel. Oh, they have these, look, we think it's horrific. But they're not doing a single thing to put effective pressure on Israel. We should be kicking out the Israeli ambassador, as Te Pāke Māori says. We should be kicking out the American ambassador until they stop this genocide in Gaza.
Do you think should we expect more of the Arab nations?
Yes,
in terms of speaking up and pointing the finger?
Yes, we should, because the Arab nations are not democracies, they are autocracies. Mm-hmm. The people in those countries, like Saudi Arabia, for example, like 95% of the people of Saudi Arabia support the Palestinians, absolutely. But their government has been doing, you know, deals on the side with Israel for a long time. And the same with other Arab countries. Their leaders have been doing deals with Israel, you know, little sly deals which they don't let their own people know about. But the people of the Arab world, they want their governments to stand with Palestine. But because they can't democratically elect their governments just use their army to suppress Arab opinion in support of Palestinians, and that's the way America and Israel want to keep it.
So what's likely to happen when Trump gets, who knows, but if Trump gets elected?
Well, he's never been a friend of Palestinians. His foreign policy tends to be not to go into wars overseas, so he was not... I don't think we would have seen Russia invade Ukraine if Trump had been there, because Trump would have done a deal with Putin to guarantee Russian security, because the reason Russia invaded Ukraine was that it didn't want to have American missiles right at the border of Russia, which would have happened if Ukraine had joined NATO. So I think he would have given those assurances. The one good thing about Meripeka, about Donald Trump, is he didn't start any new wars. And Joe Biden has started wars everywhere, including getting New Zealand to help him bomb Yemen, for God's sake, one of the poorest countries in the world.
Well, we're in for an interesting time, aren't we? But I do hope that this will be, well, I don't know. I find I would have expected more of them. I would have expected,
absolutely.
Yeah, and knowing what had happened to their people, etc. Yes. Where is their compassion? Where is their humanity, actually?
Yes.
So that to
that,
me...
That is the question that's being asked again and again. One of the Palestinian intellectuals, Edward Said, he used to describe Palestinians as the victims of the victims. So, in other words, you know, the Jewish people were brutally suppressed and suffered the Holocaust, 6 million Jews killed in Nazi-occupied Europe. And they many of those people have now become the oppressors of Palestinians. And so, Palestinians being the victims of the victims. And for the Jewish people, there will never, ever be security and safety in a state which is based on suppressing another people. You can't provide security for one group by removing it from another group.
Well, I've thought about this, and you know, I don't have the background and knowledge that you have in all of this, but I've thought about it, and I've thought, I wonder if the Jewish people need to have somebody to hate, so that it helps them with how they with to understand or maybe get over or live with the memory of what happened to their 6 million. You know, Fano, that went to the gas chamber. That's what I thought. I thought maybe they need somebody to hate.
I know that a lot of people say, and it's quite true in some sections of the Jewish community, that there is that the trauma of what happened in the 1930s and 40s in occupied Europe from the Nazis is a trauma for the Jewish people as a whole, and I think to some extent that is true, but so many millions of Jews have come out of that experience and said, no, we are not going to be oppressors. We are not going to be colonizers. We stand with the Palestinian people, just as we hoped the world would stand with us in the 1930s and 40s, and they didn't. Well, we're going to stand with Palestinians today. So it is a minority of Jewish people who are at the heart of this brutalizing of Palestinians. And I think we often forget that. Well, some people forget that. It's not Jews versus Palestinians. It's just a small section of Jews who believe in this idea of a Jewish state. Create a Jewish state. Doesn't matter how you do it, but you create it. Get rid of the indigenous people, and then we'll be strong forever. It's never going to work.
No, well, I don't think you can build your future by taking another's future. And
Absolutely, precisely. Yeah.
Oh, look, thank you so much, John, for talking with us. And have you had a good start anyway to 2024?
Well, it's been it's a really funny one, because we haven't had our usual summer. A lot of us in the solidarity movement, because it's been so incredibly difficult. People can't go on holiday. They can't think about other things while this genocide goes on. So it's been a difficult time. But look, we're building a very strong movement here, and the political price for Israel and the US is going to be incredibly high from this. And I don't think Israel will come back from this, because the world has had its eyes opened in a way that they have never had them open before.
Look, thank you very much, John. It's always great to talk to you. And again, always thank you. Thank you for continuing to raise awareness around the injustices that happen, not only in here, but obviously in other parts of the world. Nice to talk with you this evening.
Yeah. Yes, kia ora, Mere Peke. Thank you very much for having me.